Hello, friend. Welcome back. It's Monica here, Monica Amazer Podcast. And today I have a very special guest for you. Her name is Lorna, and she's been a client in BBM since 2017. We originally connected on Facebook. She talked herself out of the first round of very first membership that I started running in 2017. That was when I quit my job at the gym, and I just thought, well, I have to put something up online that's going to be affordable, that's going to be for the people. Let's put some group together and let's go. 2017, years and years and years before today. And Lorna did that, and Lorna stayed with BBM for years. And now she sees me live on Zoom in addition to having her program delivered through the BBM app. Lorna shows a lot of really great tips, from water, through sleep, through walking, yoga, strength training, running, having a trainer, not having a trainer, having a plan, not having a plan. Stay tuned, because I am 100% sure that as you listen, you'll be able to find little golden nuggets and things that you will adjust in what you're doing that will produce results immediately for you. Thank you for being here. Welcome. Thank you for making the time for me on Saturday. I so appreciate it.
Yes, thank you.
Let's get moving. So you acknowledge my memory. I remember very well you and I connected like officially originally in 2017 when I was running the very second online membership thing, because it wasn't BBM back then. It was Team Train, but not really Team Train. And you said to me that you talked yourself out of the first round and then you signed up for the second round. And rest is history. That was 2017 in the fall, right? Or maybe like about this time, right?
I think it was September, October, somewhere in there. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the first round probably lasted like a month or month and a half. And you came to the second one, so probably around this time. Do you remember, Lorna, how we connected originally on social media?
So I had a friend, I still have a friend, who had seen just my fitness journey and where I had started and where I was. And she said, oh, you have to follow Monica Mazur. I know her. She's wonderful. And you'll like her tips and things like that. So I just started following you.
Who was the friend?
Her name is Jamie.
Okay. Oh,
I don't know how she stumbled on you. Maybe through some of the fitness competitions and things that you had been in. So through coaching somewhere or something, maybe. But needless to say, she said, oh, you have to follow her, you'll like her tips and things like that. And so I did. I started looking at your page and gaining knowledge. And then you had offered that, I think it was a back to school thing that you had started in September, and I thought, oh, I would do that, but I don't think it's for me. And so I did talk myself out of it.
How did you reason it with yourself, as in, you know, this is not for me? Why?
I thought that maybe I wasn't in good enough shape to even start it. You know, I just had not a lot of confidence about myself and where I was and what was happening. So then when the second round came around, I was like, you know, I think I'm going to try this, because these people had these great results and they were talking about them. And I thought, I'll just try it and see. So,
and you did. And that was 2017, years and years and years ago. And then you included your sister at some point also. And so that was great. But tell me, Lorna, have you lifted before doing BBM, or was this your first experience with lifting?
So originally, you talk about this a lot. I originally was a runner. Mm-hmm. And so I would run and run and run and run and ran half marathons. And then at a certain point, I couldn't get to where I wanted to be. And so I hired a trainer locally and went to the gym with him. And he said, oh, you have to stop running. You just need to lift weights. And then I kind of lost what I had, because he really wasn't helping me with what I needed to do. It wasn't targeted for anything. He was just kind of showing me technique, and it wasn't really focused. And I ended up canceling that training because I wasn't
Lorna, can I
getting
ask you a
anything.
question? So
Yeah.
when you're saying you were not getting where you wanted to get, was it like you wanted to improve your running speed or technique, or was it like you started running because you thought you're going to get in shape, I don't know, lose weight or get toned up or something like that? What was it that the running wasn't getting you?
I was trying to achieve a certain weight that I thought would be the weight I should be because I was so fixated on the scale. And the one good thing about this trainer is he did tell me, about body fat percentage and water, and he had a more detailed scale than I had, and he was showing me based on my height and all these things and all these factors that the weight I was thinking I should be, and I say should because that was really the thought in my head, I should weigh this. He said, that's really not realistic. You're 5'9". You have a lot of muscle from running. This weighs too. It's not just fat. And the reality is I was pretty thin and didn't really think I was. So I had some body image issues that I was dealing with. But so he did try to explain all that to me. And then, I wanted to look a certain way. I wanted to look more defined, but not bodybuilder defined, but kind of streamline the
Stronger,
areas I
yeah.
was having difficulty with, and I just wasn't getting that from him. So then I just started kind of doing my own thing, where I'd do some weights and I'd do some running, and it never really got back to the running because it's hard. It's a lot of work and it
When
takes
did
a
you
lot of
start
time.
running, Lorna? Was it like between babies? For those of you who don't know, Lorna has five kids, right? Five.
Three, three,
Three.
three,
Martha
three.
has five.
Right, six. She actually has six. But yes, she
Oh,
has
no
six. I have
way.
three.
You guys are amazing. I don't know how can you juggle so many things, like professional career and kids and three. I mean, my mom had three. I come from three as well. But your sister having six, I was always like, wow, this is amazing. And you made time for yourself. So was it between kids that you started running, or was it something you did from, high school or college? What was that running from? Where was it from?
I always did run a little bit in high school and college, not to the degree I did. Around 2011, someone I had worked with had passed away from, a heart condition. I thought, oh, I can't be out of shape. I have to get in shape. And so I just started jogging again. Weight started coming off from having three kids, and I was like, oh, this is a good fit. I'll just stay with this. And then I ended up getting divorced in 2012 and stayed with the running because it actually helped me to deal with stress and
For
things like
sure.
that. So, I just had stayed with it. And then, yeah, it was
So
just
it got
always
you
my
results
go-to.
originally at the beginning, but then it just kind of the results just kind of plateaued because, you probably like achieved as much as you could have with running, right?
And I think you've said it too. The cardio piece, you can only do so much per day. You can't just keep adding on minutes per day of cardio all day, every day. So,
That and you, because it's so repetitive, you're so prone to injure yourself. Because it's so repetitive. If I told you, hey, Lorna, so on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, for half an hour, you're going to squats, you'd be like, you're crazy. But running or spinning is the same thing, it's the same repetitive movement over and over and over again. So if you're not adding some strength training and flexibility with it, it's very easy to get injured as we age. But you didn't. Luckily, you didn't. So that's
I
good.
didn't. So yeah, some good things came out of the not so great coaching, in that I did stop the repetitive running and learn some good technique, but then, kind of was freelance on my own for a while with what to do. And what I liked about your original team train was, it came with a workout that told me exactly what to do. I didn't have to think about should I go do some arms or should I go do chest press or should I try to bench press that I hate doing, and what should I try to do in the gym. And so this way it was a structured routine and I could do that and know that I did what I needed to do and move on.
And back then you went to the gym.
I did.
You didn't do it at home because now you're doing it at home, right?
Now I do it at home. COVID really changed a lot of that for me. It just was easier to not go there. than to deal with all the precautions and, time limits and things like that. So, yeah, it was easy
And
to
most
get some
people
weights at home.
accumulated, for sure. Most people exactly accumulated things, and so you have the equipment at home, so it's easier to do it at home. But going back to the lifting, I think one thing that people don't realize is that the idea of going to the gym without a plan is just like a fail idea from the beginning, because we just, it's like cooking. I'm not a cook. I don't cook. So it's like cooking a beautiful meal, but you have no recipe. How am I going to do this? I'm going to throw some things together, probably the same thing that I've already done before. It's going to be mediocre, and then that's that, So it's like when you don't have a plan, it's very overwhelming, and it's just a natural way that people just women just gravitate towards ellipticals or treadmills or bicycles, because that's easy. You just press the button and you go. Versus strength training, it's very difficult to figure it out.
It is. And too, if you don't really have the right form, you're not really doing what you want to do either.
Exactly, for sure. No, absolutely. So you trained with a plan for a long, long time, and we worked together doing that. And then you added the life component. And I really wanted to ask you about that, as in, what is your perspective on how, when you trained online by yourself with a plan for me, and that, which is obviously was an upgrade from your own freestyle, even with the knowledge from the trainer, and then coming live and showing up live for a session?
So I have to tell you, the first live session, I was so terrified to join because I thought, oh
Oh
no, what's this
no,
gonna
tell
be?
me
What's this
why.
gonna be like? What will we do? What's gonna happen? And I didn't know how to set up everything really, but you were so good at saying, move the camera back, I need it angled down, I need to, wherever it is. And that real time feedback, once I went to one live session, I was like, oh, I like this, because it is like having a trainer next to you. Right there, and even where you're like, nope, head up a little bit, head down a little bit, whatever it is, those little adjustments, because you don't always see it when you're moving, especially in the room I work out, and I don't really have a mirror to look in, to double check some of that. And so it's so nice. But yeah, I remember being so nervous that first session. I was telling my kids, I'm like, go be quiet in the other room, don't bother me. I need to focus.
Was it, Lorna? Were you worried about like being able to go for the whole hour, or were
I
you
think
were
so. Yeah, because most of the workouts, I mean, they're good in that they're organized, and I try to keep a good pace with them. And then I thought, oh my gosh, what if I'm doing these totally wrong? I could go on there and think here I'm doing everything right, and then it's wrong. And so I was just a little intimidated that first session, but I've stayed with the live sessions as best I can every week, unless I'm out of town or something else where I can't easily do that. But it's nice to have the live session at least once a week. It keeps me in check with staying accountable to getting workouts in and making sure that I show up and I'm present for me too.
And your form is good and all. And how about the results from lifting versus the results from running?
Yeah, they're different results, so I will say I like the results from lifting. I feel stronger. I definitely, my posture is better. I don't have great posture, but it's better. And I notice that when I stand next to people, I'm straighter than them. I think I stand a little straighter. I'm still only 5'9". I just, recheck that at a physician appointment. I'm still 5'9", but I feel like I'm taller. And I think it's just because I'm holding myself differently, that muscles are supporting me differently.
You know, Lorna, you're making me laugh, because I remember working with elderly when I first moved to Connecticut for a year, and all these, they didn't care, when working with 20, 30-year-olds, they would be like, oh my God, I want abs like yours, or you want a butt like yours. And then working with elderly, they were all like, oh my gosh, your posture is so good. What would I do to have posture like this? And so, it's funny, because we do all sit a lot in life, whether driving or working or eating or other things that we do. And so it's absolutely key to address the posture. And
Even
without
just
it,
flexibility is improved. I do go to yoga still a couple times a week. I know it's not part of the plan, but it's something I like. It helps my stress level. And it's just time for me. But even in there, I noticed that my flexibility has improved, and I know you've noticed it as we go. And even last night, we were out to dinner with some friends, and they were saying, "Oh my, I can't move my arms straight up." And I thought, "You can't. Oh, that's so easy. I can move my arms straight up." But again, at that first live session, I remember my arms were like kind of diagonal at a 45-degree angle from me, and you said, "Lorna, you have to get them straight." And I was like, "Oh, they're never gonna go straight. This is straight." But no, it wasn't. They do go straight now.
You know, it's funny because through strength training, we do address the mobility a lot. So whether that be squatting down or going up and down on the floor and up and down and up and down, or all the arm movements, you know, shoulders and triceps, this is something that I never paid attention to earlier, but now being 40 and seeing how people move worse and worse and worse, this is the benefit that, you know, once you maintain this, you don't have to worry about it. It's just when people don't do anything and then they wake up at, you know, 45 or 50 and they cannot do certain things. And then it's very hard to regain the mobility, because, you know, your body just kind of, if you don't use it, you lose it.
It's true. Very true.
What's the hardest when it comes to training, eating, and all? What is the hardest? The lack of time? Is it the kids' schedules? No, your kids are old now. Your kids are adults all now.
They are, well, I'm 52, and so my kids are 25, 21, and 20. So they are all
They're
older.
all adults. Yes.
Yes, they are older. And my work schedule makes it a little bit harder. I have been promoted a couple times since we've been working together.
Congratulations!
So I've been
Yay!
an assistant manager and then now a manager. And so that takes a little bit more of my time in the day. But I think time is the hardest component. And I try to set aside a time when I'm going to work on things. So I either think of it the night before or, you know, the week in advance and try to plan out when those things are going to happen with the workouts and things like that. Food, I think, is always challenging. It's very easy when you're working in an office somewhere and everybody says, "Oh, let's get lunch." And you're like, "Okay, I'll order lunch." But it's not necessarily the lunch I would want to have. So I have been bringing my lunch more regularly just within this last month, and just making sure I have stuff there that I would want to have for a snack, not just, "Oh, here, I have a granola bar for you." I'm like, "No, I don't want that. I have this apple. I have a banana. I have, you know, whatever I want to have there that I'll bring in." And then dinners, just being more mindful about what it is that I'm eating. I listened to, and I'm so sorry, I can't remember her name. Somebody that you had done on the podcast before who is a vegan, and
Oh,
she was
Kayla.
talking about her, yes. And she was talking about her food, and I thought, I can do that too. I can just stop the processed food, and I can, you know, certainly make a potato for dinner instead of rice, you know, or something like that. I can sub that in, or, you know, have something different, so that I'm not just heating up some boxed item to eat. So, just being more cautious about what kinds of foods, when, and things like that.
That's huge. I think, Lorna,
Yeah.
that recently you've really upped your results. You are leaner, you are moving faster. Have you done anything different or special, or was it just the mindfulness with food and the food swaps?
I really think it's just the food swaps and being more mindful. And I've increased my water. Because I remember one of the live sessions where I was on the walk pad and I heard you saying how much water you drink. I thought, "Oh my gosh, I don't drink that much water. I should drink more water." And so, you know, those little things that you say, it kind of resonates when you're in the moment. You're like, "Oh, I should do that. I should try
I
that
love that
too."
you're
So.
mentioning so many little things that kind of stay, because that means, you know, because sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm repeating myself like a broken record. And this, and this, and this. I'm like, I've said it 75 times. But, you know,
Yeah.
sometimes you just have to hear it and to, you know, to get it and remember and implement it. So maybe the first time you just hear it and think about it.
Right.
Second time you think about it and do something. And then like by the fifth time you're actually doing it.
Yeah, I think they say it takes three times hearing something before you actually start to resonate with it. But I know I take a giant water bottle to work. I think it's 64 ounces or something. And every day people are like, you have enough water? I'm like, yeah, I think so. I'm good.
It's so funny, you know,
I
because
think I'm good.
when you see people with these humongous coffee cups or like sodas, no one will say anything. And then the water is somehow it has people rolling their eyes, and it's like it's just water. It's you know, and 64 ounces is nothing crazy. During
It's not.
bodybuilding, we would drink a gallon, which is 128 ounces. I don't really measure it so much, but during live classes with you guys, there's at least a liter that goes into me, so it's like 33, 34 ounces. And we either have one or two, and I always have more than one session. So like 64 is the minimum, for me personally. And you know, it's keeping you hydrated, it's keeping you energized, it's keeping the digestive system going. And so I think you can't, I mean, obviously we're not gonna, you know, there's the extreme people who will drink too much water and then they die.
No, I
We're
don't think
not
we're at
going
that level.
there. We're not going there. We're not drinking 5 gallons a day. But you know, if you're drinking anywhere to 100 ounces, that's totally great. How is it with work? Is this you know, feasible with your work that you're running to the bathroom and you're eating and also all of this is like, is it feasible working with people and being able being in the office? Is it hard?
No, it all works. I mean, admittedly, anytime you add water, your body has to adjust, and there's a little bit more bathroom breaks. But now I think I have a good system, and my goal is always to finish that 64 ounces at work. If not on the way home, I try to finish that, and then whatever else I have at home is always water. And so I'm just adding that to the total. But that's always my goal to get that amount in.
That's awesome. What is it that you're working on now, Lorna? Because you said that you have a big goal, and then you
I
said that you're going
do.
to achieve it by the end of the year. So I would love to hold you accountable. And like, if we put it out loud, then we're going to have BBMs know about it
So I have made some really good progress in the last month, and I really am. I was excited for myself, but then when you said it, I was like, oh, people notice it. Like, I noticed
I
it,
see it, yes.
you always notice it first yourself because you're like, oh yeah, this fits better, or that looks better, or whatever. So I have lost recently 10 pounds, but I really do want to lose 20 before the end of the year. So that is my big goal. I really would like it to be 30, but time is getting short. We're kind of close to the end of the year. So I made it a more realistic goal to get to 20 by the end of the year lost, and then 10 more by next summer. So that
So this
I'm
is
not setting
wonderful.
myself up to fail. I want to be successful with this goal.
Totally. Absolutely, Luna. So here's a couple things that I'll say to that. So this is all great and wonderful. And I immediately go and I'm like, what day do we have now? And how many weeks we have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 weeks until the end of the year. So my approach with this kind of goal is always to focus on the actions that will get you there, not so much on the result. And you know this. So to take inventory of all the things that got you to the first 10 pounds and then put them in your daily routine, in your calendar or in any app that you're tracking your habits through. Or, and I use the app called Routines, but it's a free app that you can create your own routines and just mark them off in the morning and at night. Routines meaning like just to-dos kind of things. I can share that with you when we finish. You can put it in the show notes too. And so you focus on the daily actions because this is going to have you winning every single day. So every single day, you will be finishing up the day accomplished, as in, I did this and I did this and I did that. Great. Versus if you focus on a scale, it might be frustrating week or it might be, you know, Thanksgiving, and you might not feel like this was your 100% best week. And so it's best to focus on the actions that will get you there. Because the truth is that there are 8 weeks until the end of the year. So if you're really, really focused, you can lose 2 pounds a week, which will get you almost to the 20 pounds, right? But we don't need to be obsessive. We don't need to be extra and have you do anything that would perhaps put you in like a little mindset of like, okay, this is the diet and I'm pushing so hard, but rather ch make this lifestyle change and something that you can maintain comes January and you can just keep going with it. So I would focus on not so much the outcome, Of course, track and check, and maybe checking the scale could be one of your actions for the day. But focusing on, like I said, the water and the food, and giving yourself certain rules around the food. So I don't know, maybe having a drink a week if that's a thing, or maybe going out to eat only once a week, and then you choose what when that's going to be, or going out to eat more times per week if that's daily occurrence at work, but then what you're going to choose and how you're going to go about it. And so that way, each day you go to bed at night, you're feeling accomplished that you are on track to reaching that goal. Versus again checking, I always compare this to learning Polish. If you came to me to learn Polish, I wouldn't ask you every single day, so, okay, are you done? Are you there yet? No, you speak Polish already? You speak. I would say, did you speak? Did you write? Did you listen to the audio? Okay, great. Like that's what's gonna get you there. Versus just get on the scale, get on the scale, get on the scale. Because I feel like a lot of times we go about this the wrong way, looking at the destination versus it's like with driving too. You're not just checking, are you there yet? Are you there yet? Are you there yet? You're just hitting the points on your way. So same here, same here. And you'll get to the 30 pounds altogether. It's just a matter of when, but doing it this way will have you one feeling accomplished daily. And imagine if you have five tasks. And that could be anything: water, food, movement, steps, workout, sleep, self-care of any other kind, because all of this will be good. Yoga, like you said. And so all of those things. And so imagine if you have five tasks for the day or six, and you do four, you still are moving forward and you're seeing that you're moving forward. Even if you do three, you're still there. Or if you did three and then you're like, darn it, it's like 8 o'clock at night. I did three. I want to do one more. What can you do? Can you finish more water? Can you do a workout? Can you go and do some steps on your walk pad? So that way you are more in control daily, not like a control freak, like the kind of control freak who's going to go on the scale five times a day to see which number is the lowest. Because we've got that too. But more like, you're more responsible and kind of aware of what's going on. And that way you are moving forward very mindfully. And so you'll get there. You'll get there. It's just a matter of when. And that way also you can adjust each month or each week, saying, okay, so I did 5,000 steps a day. Now this is easy. Let's do 7,000 this week. And that way you can control your results. Again, be responsible for your results. So you see, like, all right, well, this week I haven't lost any weight. Maybe I need to do a little more walking, or maybe I need to do a little bit more sleeping, or maybe I need to pay attention to my food a little bit.
And it's funny you mentioned the sleeping, because that is another thing I changed.
Oh, tell me about
I
it.
generally do not, in my life, I generally have not needed more than 4 to 6 hours of sleep just to
Oh my gosh.
feel rested and function, right? And so 4 to 6. So I would be fine. And then I thought, I had been listening and reading, and I think you said something about sleep. And I was like, oh, maybe I should just try and sleep a little bit longer and see what happens. So I did increase that to 6 to 7 hours a night. And that is, I mean, that's a big difference going from, 4 to 6, which was fairly common for me. I would just, 5 hours of sleep and I was done. So moving that even a little further has made a big difference too. I don't know that I feel more rested in the morning, but it seems to make a difference overall that I
It
wasn't
is
really
huge.
expecting.
No, it's very, very important. Your body recovers and you get to I kind of see it as like, we go to sleep, but the body gets to work. And so it gets to repair the muscle tears, it gets to clean it all out. I mean, there's a re when I was competing, and this because we were connected back then too, when you go to sleep, it's like your body's working very hard, and you wake up and it's like everything is just nice and tight, especially when you're on like a weight loss journey or fat loss journey. Everything is just nice and tight. You're ready to go to the bathroom. Your body is tight, 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 and like ready to go, because you gave it the time to recover. And it's funny because people don't pay attention to this because when we are like regular weight or regular body fat, it's hard to notice. But when you are on that weight loss or fat loss journey for competition, it's everything is exaggerated, so you can see those things better, right? If you eat quote unquote cheat meal, you see it on the body, you feel it on the body, the sugar. And same way with the sleep. If you don't, when you don't sleep enough,
or well, your weight will be elevated the next day. And of course, it's not from fat. It's the water retention, it's the cortisol level, the stress hormone, you know this. So it's just so key. So I'm glad you adjusted it. I'm so glad you shared this because I think this is a thing that many women deal with. And most clients who I work with, they don't have little kids who wake them up at night. It's their own doing.
Right. Well, and I think too, just as you know, because like I said, I'm 52, and as I'm changing, you know, I realize things have to adjust around me a little bit too. So, and the way that things worked when I was 21 certainly aren't the same now at this point. And so that's also the other reason was the cortisol, which is, I think it does make a difference there as well, that I
That's
really
so true.
wasn't quite sure about, but now that I've done that for the past couple of months, I see the difference there too.
What was it, Lorna, that led you to adding more sleep?
You know, it had just been something I had been trying to figure out why I was stuck. Like I was doing the workouts and I was doing the walking, and I even before it got cold here in Ohio, I would get up and walk in the morning before work outside, and you know, all these things were great, but I just was a little bit stuck, and I thought I have to change some things. I just don't know what. And I was really looking to just change like one thing and see if it made a difference, and then another thing, and et cetera. And so I had added in the water, and I had added in, you know, or taken away the processed food piece and gone to just more whole foods and not really having sugar unless it was like fruit or something else. And then I was doing some reading and stumbled on cortisol as well, and that a way to help reduce cortisol as you're aging, because it tends to increase, is to improve your sleep. And I thought, oh, Monica said something about sleeping more. And so then it just kind of seemed like it was being put in my face by the universe. I thought I better take a listen and see what that
It's so interesting you brought this up, you know, because I think there's like the two opposites online. The team of like, take care of yourself, sleep all you want, exercise not important, you just need to sleep. And then people just are lazy, and they think, oh, I don't know why I'm not losing any weight. And it's like, well, you're not doing anything. Sleeping is not going to make you lose weight. And then there's the other team, like yourself. Okay, I sleep 4 hours a night. I exercise, I walk, I do all the things. Why isn't it happening? And so you know, we got to be somewhere in the middle. The sleep will not just make someone lose weight, but it's very important to you know, it's the exercise is stress on the body, a physical stress, and so we have to also provide it the rest. So you doing yoga, you doing your walking, and that kind of, the kind of walking that you know we're going for 10 miles a day, but you know, just walking, moving your body, so like active rest. And then your sleep, that's key, absolutely key, you know. And it's funny how you can lift weights, how you can eat well, how you can go and do your burn classes with me, which is cardio and strength. And then the difference comes from sleeping, water, and yoga.
Right. It
But
is funny.
all these elements are important. You know, you can't beat the body. I always see it as, you know, you cannot just beat the body and beat and beat and beat through the lifting, through the walking, through, you know, running, whatever hardcore things, and then anticipate that it's going to be like lovely and fit and happy with you. It's like, no. You need to do also the nice things for the
Yes, the nice things make a difference. They do make a
Yes.
difference.
The nice things will make a difference. That's awesome. I love hearing that all these things that, you know, made a difference for you, because I'm sure that there's going to be other people who will listen, who will be like, oh, wait, I don't drink water, or oh, wait, I should do some yoga. Because, you know, sometimes we are taught to do more and, you know, just more lifting, more cardio, more running, and that's not the answer. Speaking of running, do you still run sometimes, or burn as much as you do with me?
Yeah, no, I don't run anymore. I decided it doesn't make my hip or my knee very happy, and walking seems fine. And really, there's not much difference in the calorie burn, I don't think, from either of those. And to me, just moving a little bit faster and walking seems okay. I did try to jog a little bit over the summer, and I mean, it was okay. I think I jogged 2 miles, and I thought, oh, that's okay. That's plenty. But it never really has resumed its I don't know, it's glamour to me.
Great.
Because
I
I
love
feel
it.
just as well walking. And actually I work with, I'm a speech therapist, but I work with physical therapists and they're like, oh, it's much better to walk than to jog anyway. It's better for your hip flexors. And so then I thought, well, I'll just stick
I
with the
agree.
walking and just move faster. And during burn, I try to move as fast as I can walking without falling off the back of the treadmill. But I don't really want to jog on it. I really would just rather walk faster and control things that way. But because I feel like the walking is good. It feels good. And even at lunch, sometimes at work, I'll go walk a lap around the building, which is, I think it's a quarter mile around the building. So if I do two, it's a half mile. I've kind of
It all adds
Apple,
up.
the watch counts everything. So it always tells me how far I've gone. I'm like, oh, that's a half mile. That's good. So
It
that,
all adds up. I absolutely agree with you. It all adds up. And yeah, 100%. It's funny that you brought up this walking versus running because I, now that I'm 40, I do not intend to do what I did when I was 30 and I was competing. And I'm quite shocked, to be honest, how much is possible without the crazy cardio. Just with walking. I used to do Stairmaster. I used to run 5 miles every morning, Monday to Friday. And that was, to be lean for competitions. And as I wake up in the morning and I'm like, wow, I'm actually shocked because, what's possible just with walking? And obviously paying attention to your nutrition and sleeping and water and all the other things. But as in for cardio, lifting, yes, but to, for cardio, just walking, it's just so much more gentle on the body, but you're burning the calories anyway. So you're less prone to injure yourself. You can do it, just like you said, between work or at lunch or in the morning, and you don't need to shower afterwards. And so it's easier and more convenient to squeeze it in anywhere you want. And you can take your kids or your dog. Your dog is so cute, by the way. Oh my gosh.
I do walk her a lot. She
Yeah.
she's good for about a mile,
And then you're gonna carry her. It's like Mimi. No,
so.
but it's so amazing what's possible with just that gentle cardio. I think that HIIT is completely unnecessary. Doing all the crazy things, as in like running 5 miles a day, not necessary to I always think about it this way. If you can get the same result from something that is less prone to injure you, we will never be choosing the injury prone thing over the safe thing that will get you similar results. So like box jumps, we don't do so much jumping, but step ups and
No.
lunges and squats, yes. And the same way with running versus walking. This is why on your plans I've added, steps and not run for 5 miles. No, you can walk for 5,000 steps. That's no problem.
Yeah, and easy enough to track now with pretty much any app that
Any
exists.
app, your phone, your Apple Watch, and pretty much everyone has something these days that could track it. This is wonderful, Luna. Is there anything else that you would love to share before we go so that people can be left with some golden nuggets? You've brought up so many good things here. I know there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be like, and this, and this, and walking, and water, and sleeping, and tracking no processed food. But is there anything else that's left that you would want to leave people with?
I think the biggest thing that I have taken away from you, and I still struggle with it, but is talking nicely about yourself too. Not just focusing on the negative things, but talking nicely about yourself to yourself. And I know it comes up in the BBM group a lot where people will share their story and things like that. And it is it's a hard thing, I think, for women just to have that positive thought about themselves and their body and not say mean things to themselves about their body because it's not going to help. And anytime I get in that mindset, I'm like, no, we're not doing that. We're going to talk nicely. We're not going to be mean. And you're doing well, and this is everything is going the way it should be going. We're not going to dwell on negative stuff. So just keeping kind of a more positive mindset, which is easy to do, really. You just have to not fixate on, oh, I wish my hip was a little bit less curvy or whatever. You just have to focus on what's positive, what's going well.
You know, you kind of coached people through it because the thing is that this negative self-talk is habitual. That's just a habit accumulated over time. So if we did it for 30 years or 40 years or 50 years, it's hard to just magically get rid of it. And exactly what you shared, that bad habit solution. I think this is podcast number 7. I have to re-record this to have a newer one on this. But it really, what it is just correcting yourself. So like, no, stopping, correcting yourself. We're not going to be doing this. And doing some other action, moving your attention elsewhere. So either acknowledging yourself or something, or just literally going and doing something that's going to be good for you, positive. And once you do it, because it's the conversation in the head that's you're not going to win it. So once you're going to start, you know, that can be the same thing as drinking Coca-Cola or smoking or talking poorly about yourself or something else to yourself. You have to just not get engaged in that conversation in your head. And that's it. Move your attention elsewhere. Do something nice to yourself, and that's it. And it's just a habit that you can disappear like any other habit.
And that was a big habit to start to change. I will say it, like I said, it does still creep back. It is a habit and it's hard to end a habit, but once it's there and I see it, I'm like, no, we're not, no, this isn't where we're going to be today. This
That's
isn't
beautiful. And
happening.
I mean, the whole thing is like the self-awareness first and the mindfulness, absolutely. And then just zapping it. And then, you know, three, just like you said, it will be there and it might creep in at any point. But the idea then is to like decrease the time that you're entertaining the thought or the conversation in your head. It's not really, you know, about like completely disappearing it, because it's kind of not realistic to think this way, but it's just like decrease the time. Maybe originally it would be like the whole day of like, ah, oh, I'm in the bad mood because I look this way or that way. And then maybe it's like an hour, and then maybe it's like just a thought and you're just zapping it and it's gone. So it's then focusing on that, and you know, I mean, I'm sure you realize that the fact that you can even recognize it and talk about it, that's huge, because so many people can't. They're just like on the roll of doing it, and they're not even aware that they're doing it to themselves. They're worrying why they're wondering why their body is not responding nicely to them. Well, they're not being nice to the body.
And it's easy to see when somebody else is doing that, and I always try to help them see a more positive. I'm like, well, that's, you wouldn't say that to me, so don't say that to yourself. Don't
Exactly. Yeah,
say that about yourself.
100%. 100%. I always bring people's kids. It's like, you would never talk to your child like this. Why are you talking like this to yourself? Oh no, I would never talk to my child like this. But it's like, your child is watching you speak to yourself like this, because those slip-ups will come out. You know, maybe it's in the head, but sometimes they'll come out, and you do not want to teach anyone to do this to themselves, the person you love.
So true. And I know, like, a
Absolutely.
lot of these things I just learned from being in the group and, seeing other people's posts. Everybody inspires me so much. I think there have been times where I'm like, oh, this isn't going the way I want it to go. And then I see somebody's post and I think, okay, I needed to see that. That helped me regroup and get back on focus. So, it's nice to have that support in the group too, to be
I
able to
totally
see
value the
everybody
community
else's
so
stuff.
much. The community is amazing, and the fact that, you know, there's so many people to you can whom you can relate to. So, you know, I can give you my advice and knowledge, but there's going to be so many people who are going to be able to advise you from their perspective, and maybe their perspective is better or will resonate better in the moment. And so therefore I always appreciate when you ladies share and post and just, you know, open the conversation for others, or the, you know, not even the conversation, but something in their head will shift and maybe their behavior will change. Thank you so much, Lorna. That was so wonderful. I super appreciate you, and the BBM community will hear this too, so they will be able to hear your acknowledgement. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for everything. It's been a journey and still is, but it's a good journey. So thank you.
It's a journey of life. It never ends. It never ends. So we're on it. We're on this journey. Thank you, Lorna. I really appreciate you.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.